The plunge in shares of Credit Suisse gripped world markets on Wednesday and renewed fears that a full-blown worldwide banking crisis might be brewing.
Shares in Credit Suisse plunged to a record low, falling 24%. Now, that came after its biggest investor said it could not give the bank any more financial help.
The problem is that Credit Suisse, by some standards, might be too big to fail, but also too big to be saved.
Three U.S. banks have failed in the last week. That has really shaken the confidence of investors about the banking sector as a whole, focusing on the U.S., but now spreading to Switzerland.
As Credit Suisse reeled, there was massive volatility elsewhere, as bank stocks, yields on U.S. treasuries and eurozone bonds, as well as oil prices, all plunged.
If you think about where we were a year ago, the Fed was just starting its rate hiking cycle. So over the next couple quarters, you're going to get those long and variable cumulative and lagged impacts hitting the market further. So I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think there's a lot more consolidation, a lot more pain yet to come.
I tell you who I do not want to be in the next week is Jerome Powell. Boy, he is, the Fed is in a very massive pickle.
Prompting a radical move by Switzerland's central bank, which pledged financial support for the troubled bank if necessary. Credit Suisse would be the first major systemically important bank to receive such a lifeline from a central bank since the 2008 financial crisis.
The real question for markets and investors is whether this is the beginning of a broader financial crisis.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. The ongoing crisis in the banking sector is getting worse. What started with three small banks in the USA has now spread to one of the largest banking corporations in the world. Credit Suisse is more than 160 years old and is classified as one of the nine bulge bracket banks on Wall Street, alongside names such as Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and Morgan Stanley. And the current problems that the bank is facing prove that no bank is too big to fail. Credit Suisse is currently in the middle of an enormous crisis, and it's now been announced that the Swiss authorities are so concerned about this situation that they've actually stepped in and offered the bank a $54 billion bailout loan facility. This bailout, being provided by the Swiss Central Bank, is the first time a major bank has been bailed out since the 2008 global financial crisis, and really proves that we are standing on the precipice of a potential second global financial crisis. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the history of Credit Suisse, because this bank has been beset by all sorts of scandals and problems. We'll talk about the current problems that's taken this bank to the brink of collapse. We'll go through the details of the bailout facility that's been put in place by the Swiss authorities, and then we'll talk about the wider implications of what's going on in the banking sector right now. When Silvergate Bank in the USA announced that it was going into liquidation around 7 days ago, everybody put that down to specific cryptocurrency issues. The crypto markets had been falling, and therefore there wasn't really anything to worry about because Silvergate had got itself into problems by getting into crypto. We then saw Silicon Valley Bank failing, and everybody put that failure down to the fact that Silicon Valley Bank was involved in the tech markets, so it really only had itself to blame. We then saw the failure of Signature Bank, which also had a small link to the crypto markets, but had failed really because there was a lack of confidence, everybody got concerned, there was a run on the bank, and therefore it shouldn't really affect anybody else. Now, obviously, there are specific reasons why Credit Suisse has got itself into financial difficulty, but when you take a step back and look at what's happening, look at what's happened over the course of the last 7 days, four banks have been taken to the brink of collapse. And that tells us that something is happening in the financial world and that this is going to have wider implications for the whole of the global economy. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to let you know about their amazing 3-year deal whereby you can get full coverage for only $1.83 per month, including an additional 3 months extra and a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's fantastic news that it will protect you from hacking and tracking and data breaches. But what's also great news is that it can save you money and open up a whole new world of entertainment. because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription, and Atlas VPN is currently offering an amazing 3-year deal whereby you can get full coverage for only $1.83 per month, including an additional 3 months extra and a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. So to purchase this exclusive Joe Bloggs offer, please click in the description below. Credit Suisse, which was founded in Switzerland in 1856 and is regarded as one of the 9 bulge bracket banks on Wall Street, alongside Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Citigroup, Barclays, Deutsche, and fellow Swiss banking giant UBS. Despite being one of the largest banks in the world and a cornerstone of the Swiss banking industry, Credit Suisse has been involved in a variety of scandals over the course of the last 40 years. In 1986, the bank was implicated in helping to store some of the estimated $10 billion that Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos and his wife Imelda stole from the country during his 3 terms as president. It later emerged that Credit Suisse opened accounts for the couple under the fake names William Saunders and Jane Ryan, helping to shield their funds from scrutiny. In 1995, a Zurich court ordered banks, including Credit Suisse, to return $500 million of stolen funds to the Philippines. In 1999, Japanese authorities fined Credit Suisse and revoked its license over a shredding party at which bankers destroyed evidence relating to an investigation into whether it was helping companies conceal their losses. A bank spokesman at the time said serious lessons have been learned, corrective actions initiated, and disciplinary steps completed. In 2000, Switzerland's Federal Banking Commission reprimanded Credit Suisse for accepting around $214 million worth of funds linked to corruption by the Nigerian dictator Sani Abacha in the 1990s. The bank was criticised for failing to recognise that his 2 sons were politically exposed. At the time, Credit Suisse said it had improved its monitoring procedures and staff who dealt with Abacha's regime had left the bank. In 2004, a Credit Suisse banker was arrested for allegedly helping launder at least 5 billion yen linked to Japan's largest Yakuza gang. The banker was acquitted on the basis that he was unaware of the source of the funds. In 2009, Credit Suisse was fined $536 million for deliberately circumventing US sanctions against countries, including Iran and Sudan, between 1995 and 2007. At the time, the bank said it had enhanced its procedures and was taking action internally. In 2011, Credit Suisse agreed to pay $150 million to settle an investigation into tax evasion by around 1,100 German clients. A spokesperson for the bank stated at the time, "A complex and prolonged legal dispute has been avoided with an agreed solution that provides legal certainty." The US authorities charged 4 former Credit Suisse bankers with fraudulently overstating the price of $3 billion of subprime bonds during the 2007 credit crisis. And one former managing director of the bank, Karine Seligeldin, was later jailed for their involvement in the fraud. In 2014, Credit Suisse was fined $2.6 billion and pleaded guilty to helping Americans evade taxes for decades in one of the bank's most explosive scandals. The investigation was launched when former UBS banker Bradley Birkenfeld passed information to US authorities. A Senate investigation uncovered aggressive tactics used by Swiss banks, with Credit Suisse having recruited clients from high-end events, courted a potential customer with free gold, and even delivered sensitive bank statements hidden in the pages of a Sports Illustrated magazine. Authorities eventually pressurized Switzerland into unilaterally disclosing account information about US taxpayers from 2014. At the time, Credit Suisse said, "We deeply regret the past misconduct that led to this settlement." In 2016, Credit Suisse reached a $110 million settlement with Italian authorities over allegations that helped clients hide funds and dodge taxes through complex insurance policies, which were reportedly routed through its Liechtenstein and Bermuda subsidiaries. At the time, Credit Suisse said it welcomed the settlement deal. In 2016, a US regulator fined Credit Suisse $16.5 million after identifying significant deficiencies in the bank's anti-money laundering program. At the time, the bank said it was taking appropriate internal remedial efforts to make sure this didn't happen again. In 2017, Singapore's financial regulator fined Credit Suisse $700,000 for breaching money laundering rules in transactions linked to 1MBD, the Malaysian investment fund at the centre of a $4.5 billion corruption scandal. At the time, Credit Suisse said it took money laundering obligations seriously and was firmly committed to upholding the high standards of the Singapore financial centre. In 2017, authorities raided homes and offices in the Netherlands and France and launched investigations into Credit Suisse employees in the UK, Germany and Australia in connection with suspected tax evasion involving 55,000 individual accounts. At the time, Credit Suisse said it was cooperating with authorities and later took out a series of adverts in British newspapers declaring that it applies a strict zero-tolerance policy on tax evasion. In 2018, the Swiss regulator ordered Credit Suisse to improve its anti-money laundering controls in identifying shortfalls in its dealing with FIFA, the global governing body of soccer and the World Cup, the Brazilian oil corporation Petrobras, and Venezuelan state oil company PDVSA. At the time, the bank said it took its compliance responsibilities very seriously. In 2018, a former Credit Suisse banker, Patrice Lescordon, was sentenced to 5 years in prison after admitting to forging client signatures to divert money and make stock bets without their knowledge, causing more than $150 million in losses. His clients included the former Georgian Prime Minister, who's still trying to recover his money. At the time, Credit Suisse said the relationship manager was not supported by any other employee in his criminal activities. Sadly, Patrice Lescordon went on to commit suicide in 2020. In 2018, Credit Suisse agreed to pay $47 million to US authorities over a corruption scheme in which it tried to win business by offering jobs to family and friends of Chinese officials between 2007 and 2013. At the time, a spokesman for the bank said it had improved its compliance processes to ensure that nothing like this ever happened again. In 2019, the bank was caught in a corporate espionage scandal and eventually admitted to hiring private detectives to track two outgoing executives. This triggered a regulatory investigation and culminated in the departure of the bank's chief executive. A group of executives were later found to have ordered surveillance in a further five cases between 2016 and 2019. At the time, Credit Suisse said it had banned surveillance unless required for compelling reasons, such as threats to the physical safety of employees. In 2020, Swiss prosecutors issued an indictment against Credit Suisse for allegedly failing to run proper checks on clients and investigate the source of funds linked to a Bulgarian drug ring that allegedly laundered at least $146 million through accounts between 2004 and 2008. The criminal trial, which began in February 2022, is the first against a Swiss bank in the country's history. At the time, Credit Suisse said that it unreservedly rejects as meritless all allegations in this legacy matter raised against us. In 2021, Credit Suisse recorded a $5.5 billion loss due to its exposure to US hedge fund Archegos Capital Management, which collapsed in early 2021. At the time, Credit Suisse said it had fired 9 staff and taken action against 23 others, and subsequently promised to put risk management at the heart of its decision-making. Also in 2021, Credit Suisse was forced to suspend $10 billion of investor funds after the collapse of the supply chain lender Greensill Capital, whose loans were packaged and sold to Credit Suisse clients. The Greensill scandal, which stemmed from risky loans it extended to companies owned by the metals magnate Sanjeev Gupta, spiralled after it emerged that the UK Prime Minister David Cameron lobbied ministers and government officials on its behalf. The bank is still trying to claw back money for its clients today and said actions have been taken against a number of individuals in relation to this matter. Also in 2021, regulators fined Credit Suisse $350 million to settle the bank's role in the long-running Mozambique tuna bonds bribery scandal that pushed the country into financial crisis from 2016. Credit Suisse was implicated in $50 million worth of kickbacks that a government contractor handed to its bankers in exchange for better terms on nearly $1.3 billion worth of loans arranged for the People's Republic of Mozambique between 2012 and 2016. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren is urging US Labour Department to deny Credit Suisse the ability to manage workers' retirement funds as a result of this bribery settlement. At the time, the bank said it condemns any unjustified observations and has already taken decisive steps to strengthen its relevant governance and processes. In 2022, the chairman of Credit Suisse, Antonio Horta Osorio, resigned on the 17th of January after twice breaking COVID quarantine rules in Switzerland and the UK, including attending football and tennis matches in London. Speaking after his resignation, he said, "I regret that a number of my personal actions have led to difficulties for the bank and compromised my ability to represent the bank internally and externally." In late 2022, the bank disclosed that it was seeing significantly higher withdrawals of cash deposits, non-renewal of maturing time deposits, and net asset outflow at levels that substantially exceeded the rates incurred in the third quarter of 2022. The bank saw customer withdrawals of more than 110 billion Swiss francs in the fourth quarter as a string of scandals, legacy risk, and compliance failures continued to plague it. In February, the bank announced a net loss for 2022 of more than $7 billion, which was its worst performance since the banking crisis of 2008, and led to an announcement that it was scrapping its annual bonus scheme for top executives. Less than a week ago, the bank was forced to delay the release of its annual report after US Securities and Exchange Commission raised last-minute queries relating to cash flow statements from 2019 and 2020. And Credit Suisse has now announced that it's found material weaknesses in its internal controls over financial reporting and said it has not yet stemmed customer outflows. The statement reads, as of the 31st of December 2022, the group's internal control over financial reporting was not effective, and for the same reasons, management have reassessed and reached the same conclusion regarding December the 31st, 2021. On Tuesday the 14th of March, the bank announced that outflows of cash have stabilised to lower levels but have not yet reversed. Credit Suisse acknowledged that these circumstances have exacerbated and may continue to exacerbate liquidity risks. The reduction in assets under management is expected to result in reduced net interest income and recurring commission and fees, in turn affecting the bank's capital position objectives. A recent report stated a failure to reverse these outflows and to restore our assets under management and deposits could have a material adverse effect on our results of operations and financial condition. Credit Suisse has announced that it will borrow up to $54 billion from Switzerland's central bank to shore up liquidity and investor confidence. The bank's announcement came in the middle of the night in Zurich and subsequently prompted a 24% rise in the share price. This bailout loan comes days after Switzerland's central bank announced that it was prepared to act to support Credit Suisse if needed. However, at the time, the regulators stated that they believed that the bank had enough money to meet its own obligations, which has obviously turned out not to be the case. It's been a highly volatile week for bank stocks in Europe, with France's Société Générale dropping 12% at one point, the French bank BNP Paribas falling by more than 10%, and Germany's Deutsche Bank and Britain's Barclays Bank both falling by 8%. And trading in the two French banks was also suspended briefly. The turbulence comes a day ahead of the meeting by the European Central Bank, and President Christine Lagarde said last week before the US failures that the bank would very likely increase interest rates by half a percentage point to fight against inflation. Markets are now closely watching to see if the bank carries through on this, despite the latest turmoil. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, obviously I wanted to post this video to give you the latest update as to what's happening in the banking crisis. We've now seen this cross the Atlantic, away from the USA and into Europe. So the big question is this the start of a new global financial crisis, or are we just seeing a shakeout of the weaker banks? Is this sorting the wheat from the chaff? Are we just going to see the weaker institutions fail and everybody else will carry on as normal? Well, as I mentioned earlier in the video, it is easy to look at specific identifying factors for the failure of each of the four banks that have been in difficulty over the course of the last week. Silvergate was predominantly providing services to the cryptocurrency markets, and that market has obviously been in turmoil over the last 6 months or so. Silicon Valley Bank was providing services to early stage tech companies, and obviously that market has also been affected by the downturn in the global economy. And Signature Bank was also linked to the crypto markets. And as we've seen from today's video, Credit Suisse has got itself involved in a whole host of different scandals over the course of the last 10 years or so. So you could argue that there are specific circumstances around the failure of all of these banks. However, when you take a step back and look at the reason why all of these banks actually got themselves to the brink of collapse, the main reason was that customers lost confidence and faith in those institutions. The reason why Silvergate, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank all failed was because there was a run on their assets. And interestingly, those runs were driven by corporates. This was companies wanting to move all of their cash away from those banks to other institutions that they deemed to be safer. And as we've discussed in previous videos, the problem with a corporate run is that you don't have people lining up around the block waiting to go to the cash counter and remove all of their cash. You have people online who can move hundreds of millions of dollars in the space of seconds. And a run of that nature can put a bank into a liquidity crisis in a matter of hours. And of course, social media has made things much worse. worse, because once people start posting on sites like Twitter, word spreads like wildfire. And if you hear that your bank is on the verge of collapse, you're very likely to log on and try to move all of your funds. So that's exactly what happened to the three American banks. If you look at what's going on with Credit Suisse right now, problems with the loss of customer deposits actually started in October of 2022. And that was as a result of concerns about the viability of the bank at that point. This was just corporate clients deciding that they didn't like the look of what was going on at Credit Suisse, and therefore they wanted to move their assets elsewhere. And the recent statements that Credit Suisse have published to the market and comments about their mismanagement don't actually have any relationship to what's going on in the US. Now, we haven't actually had any updated information from Credit Suisse, but I think it's extremely likely that over the course of the last 7 days, as we've seen bank runs hitting the three American banks and nervousness has spread all around the globe, it's extremely likely that there's been a further movement of assets out of Credit Suisse, and we may well have seen a corporate bank run in the same way as we saw with those three American banks, but they haven't actually announced any information to the markets. All they've done is gone to the Swiss regulator and gained a $54 billion bailout facility. When you look at what's going on in the financial markets right now, everybody is analysing their portfolios. All of the fund managers, all of the large corporates are looking at where they have their cash, and they're trying to identify weak links and moving their money away from those weak links. And Credit Suisse is currently the weakest link in the world. And this is a bulge bracket bank. This is one of the 9 mega banks that Wall Street looked to as a leading light in the sector. People who work for Credit Suisse historically have been paid huge amounts of money. These are guys who are driving Lamborghinis, so you expect them to do very, very well. However, they haven't been doing well at all. They made a huge loss in 2022. They've got a major crisis going on in terms of loss of funds. And when you look at those facts, it does seem crazy that so many large institutions have so much money with Credit Suisse. So I think there's a very strong possibility that over the course of the last week, there has been a wave of cash leaving Credit Suisse, because the last thing that any of these banks want to do is go and seek a bailout facility from its central bank, because there will be terms and conditions attaching to that. This is similar to the sort of loans I've talked about in other videos that countries obtain from the IMF. In order to get those loans, you have to agree to do things a certain way. The IMF tell you to increase taxes and do things that they want to see being done in your country. And when you take a bailout loan from a central bank, it's exactly the same sort of setup. The central bank wants you to fix all of the things that you've been doing wrong in the past. So it restricts the amount of deals that you can do. It tells you not to do things that are risky. And so it will reduce the ability of Credit Suisse to be able to get itself out of this situation. If you look at all of the banks that were bailed out in the 2008 financial crisis, the vast majority of those banks have struggled to get back to their former glories because they've had their wings clipped. They've been told not to go to the higher risk, higher reward end of the market and stick to the bread and butter basics of banking. And it's very likely that that's what the regulators and the central bank in Switzerland will be telling Credit Suisse right now. They will want Credit Suisse to start towing the line and get its house in order. So it will be very interesting to see what happens with Credit Suisse over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, whether this bailout facility fixes the problem or whether this is just the first in a series of loans, whether we will see Credit Suisse effectively being nationalised by the Swiss authorities. Now, in terms of the question of whether or not this is the start of a new global financial crisis, again, we need to take a step back and see what's happening in the world. We still have very high rates of inflation. Inflation has been coming down a little in most economies, but it's still well above the target rate all across the world. And the way that central banks have been trying to tackle inflation has been to increase interest rates. But what we've seen over the course of the last week or so is that those rapid increases in interest rates have caused major problems for these financial institutions. One of the reasons that the US banks failed was that they were putting customer cash into federal bonds. And those federal bonds are now out of the money because interest rates have risen so rapidly. The bond prices have fallen because there's an inverse relationship, and that left those banks exposed because when there was a run on the accounts and they needed cash, they were forced to sell those bonds at a loss. They then announced that they'd made losses. That caused a further loss of confidence in those institutions, and more people wanted to move their money away. And so the vicious circle continued. And unfortunately for the world of finance, that is a situation that a lot of other banks are also in right now. So if we get a loss of confidence, if we see some other banks coming under pressure and bank runs starting to take hold, those banks will be forced into exactly the same situation. They'll have to start selling all of the bonds that they're holding at a loss, and therefore there's a high possibility that we could see more banks failing over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. But the problems in the financial world are not just related to inflation and interest rates. We've also got a global slowdown happening right now. And that global slowdown means there's less trade being done, and therefore companies will make less profits and may struggle to repay all of their banking loans. So in addition to the problems we've got with regards to the asset base, we may also see banks coming under pressure as we see higher default rates on loans, and banks could start making losses from their loan portfolios, not just from their asset portfolios. So we've got a double risk rising in the banking community at the same time as we've got a global loss of confidence from all of the customers. Everybody is now very nervous about which bank is going to be the next to fail. And when you put those ingredients together, that's an explosive mix that could very easily lead to more banking failures and a recurrence of what happened in 2008. If you look back to 2008, the first bank that got itself into difficulty was Bear Stearns, which was actually bailed out by JP Morgan buying it. We then had a 6 month lag where everybody thought it's all going to be fine. Then Lehman Brothers failed, and then virtually the whole rest of the banking community around the world followed suit. The situation right now is that we've had three banks fail in the US. We've now had a major giant bank in Switzerland failing and having to go for a bailout facility. And given everything that we've just discussed, it's extremely unlikely that Credit Suisse will be the last banking business that gets itself into difficulty. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode. You found it interesting, useful, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And as usual, I'll finish off with something to put a smile on your face.